You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. BuiltForTheStage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation.
It's gonna be May. Everyone's celebrating your birthday every year with Justin Timberlake.
They are.
And they don't even know it.
Wouldn't want to share it with anyone else.
Oh, dear God. What's up? We're in Columbus Circle. We're here with Jessica Ernest. And we're going to walk in a circle in lieu of being in Columbus Circle.
What a concept. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. First question. Oh, yeah. We're walking a little like a tightrope here. It's more fun that way.
Balance.
Danger makes everything more fun. So first question. If you could change your name, what would you change it to? Reason I ask, I'm a Joe, so I'm like, oh, I have a million names I would change it to.
I like Jessica.
Ready? Down.
And boom. We made it.
This is good TV. Wow. All right, you like Jessica?
I like Jessica.
I like that. That says a lot about you. Yeah. You're a person that lives in yourself. You love it.
Well, and I know a few Jessicas, and they're all pretty awesome, so.
How often do people misspell your last name?
All the time.
They stick that A in there, right?
A-R-N-E-S-T or E-R-N-S-T. We actually, our wig guy's last name is Ernst, so he's E-R-N-S-T.
Very good.
So we get misspoken and misspelled all the time in a little literal circle.
What's something that your brain always tells you to do and you have to tell yourself you can't do it?
Have ice cream.
Okay.
All the time.
What's your favorite ice cream?
I like the Edie's Toll House cookie dough. The chocolate chip cookie dough. It's like the perfect consistency. The cookie dough bites are perfect. That's my favorite.
This stepping bit is like everything.
Is this good for us?
I love this.
Although I think I'm stepping with the same foot, so I have to switch my steps.
Fitness tip. When doing step-ups or anything where you're working a single leg modality, make sure you mix it up. You don't want to be lopsided, all right?
What's up, team?
If you were to buy a boat, what would you name it?
Well, my brother actually bought a sailboat and lived on it for a year.
Oh.
And my dad has a sailboat, so we have a sailboat, and it's called the Tomahawk. Funny, right?
Amazing.
If I had a sailboat, this is stupid, but probably Razzle Dazzle.
Did you, like, do the whole, like, you stayed with them, you lived in the boat for a little bit?
No, I just went for one day.
Just one day?
Yeah.
Did you sleep overnight?
No, I came back and slept in my bed.
How much was he roughing it?
He really roughed it. They went up to Canada. They sailed from Maine to Canada for, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Uh-huh.
And they ate, you know, sardines and tuna and macaroni and cheese and lived on the boat.
Well, this is going to wrap our edition of walking in
slightly
a circle.
Sprinkling.
Slightly sprinkling. Walking in a circle in Columbus Circle with Jessica Ernest with no A. Not an Ernst either. And we also got some good single leg workout action. We're going to go get a coffee. Do you want to join us? Okay, see you in a
Come
second.
On.
And boom. What other things in your life have kind of paralleled that where you were on a path and you thought that it just didn't work out for you, but instead of just turning your back on it and walking away, you made it work nonetheless, or you found something within that that you still had passion for?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I ever, I always had the passion for ballet. I'm not sure I ever thought that I saw a full career with it. I mean, except what do you want to be when you grow up? You always want to be a ballerina or a firefighter or, you know, that sort of things. But when I started to go towards the musical theater route, thinking that was also something that I could actually make a career out of, that's why I went that way. Other than that, I think just being in New York every day is a struggle. And how many times as an auditioning performer did I think, well, this is clearly not working out for me, what else can I do? And I think, well, someday maybe being a stage manager would be fun. I actually kind of unofficially follow along with all the stage management team and the props intern. That's what I'm the unofficial props intern.
Okay.
At the theater. Because there's so much else to theater than just for being on stage. You know, when you think about any Broadway show, the amount of people on stage is less than half of the people that are behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other things to do. So if you still have a passion for theater, and maybe your performing's not working out, or maybe you just don't think you have the chops, there's so many other things that you can do.
Do you think after performing's all said and done that you'd want to stay in the theater and do these things you're talking about? Stage managing, choreography, directing, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all think as dancers that we have a timeline, and then at some point you're not going to be able to dance anymore, which is probably true, you know. But as a singer, you don't have that timeline as much unless something goes terribly wrong. So I think that because I do love singing, and that's something that I could do further down the road. Yes, my career will never end in the theater. But if for some reason my passions shift, I'm kind of into social media, like marketing for theater these days. It's something that I'm kind of thinking about, just exploring. Because then you're still a part of the theater world and the community, but in another regard.
You recently had a birthday.
I did.
May the 2nd or 3rd?
First. May the 1st. May Day. I'm a May Day baby.
It's going to be May. everyone's celebrating your birthday every year with Justin Timberlake.
They are.
And they don't even know it.
Wouldn't want to share it with anyone else.
That'll be a good intro right there. That'll be the one. So you posted online, so I'll say it. You just entered the world of 30, right?
I did.
Come on.
Big 3-0, dirty 30.
It's amazing, right?
30 flirty and thriving. 30 flirty and thriving.
Exactly. Just proclaim it. Speak it to reality, to the truth. What would you tell yourself in your 20s now that you're 30 and you've lived through it? What would you tell yourself advice-wise?
It's not the end. I think there in my 20s, I mean, I'm not even a month into 30, but I think I overreacted about a lot of things in my 20s, thinking that, oh, I didn't get that job, I'll never work again,
yeah.
Or I got injured in some way, I'll never dance again, or this person broke up with me, I'll never love again, you know, all these things. I think we all, but that's the young mentality, and not that I'm over that now, it's only been a short period of time, but I think it brings some, you know, some hindsight to yourself with age.
Yeah. When you're 40,
oh boy,
what do you want to remind yourself now when you're 40? I'm taking this from the Cher show, by the way, because
they talk to each other.
Yeah, what I found brilliant about it was like, man, if only you could actually have this happen where like you are having these conversations with past self, present self, and future self.
I think I would say be proud of your accomplishments no matter how big or small they are, because every little thing may seem small, but really it's not. And I think we think, oh, Broadway, I have to get to Broadway, but all the roles and all the people that I met along the way getting to this point also were incredible and had such a part in making me who I am today and where I am today.
Yeah, there's that risk of not getting everything you could out of a relationship or a show because you're not allowing yourself to be fully satisfied with where you're at currently.
Yeah, and live in the moment, you know? In our 20s, it's all about, well, what's next and how can I get where I want to go? But live in the moment. You already are where you're supposed to be and to be doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the fitness part of the podcast a little bit.
Yes.
I'm going to quiz you on leptin levels and macro split. No, I'm just kidding.
Huh?
I'm just kidding. Let's talk about how you survive 8 show weeks. How do you physically get through that?
Stretching, being prepared, eating right.
What's eating right mean to you?
Protein. A lot of protein. A lot of veggies. A lot of water. I drink a lot of water. Limiting my sugar intake. There's a candy jar downstairs, and when I first joined the show, I was hitting that jar hard.
Yeah?
Not so much anymore. We're back on track.
You started seeing the outcome of what happens there?
Yep.
Got you.
Yep.
Do you ever do physical activity outside the show?
Yes.
What do you do?
I try to do a dance class once or twice a week, and I do, I'm a fan of yoga and high interval training. I find that's good for my full body workout, and because I don't necessarily need the cardio because I'm doing so much 8 times a week at the show, but I need the strength training and I need just to engage all of the muscles before the showtime.
Have you ever gone to a class like that but got your cardio rocked and you're like, I thought I had better cardio than this? I was just talking to, his name's Adam. He's been a Rockette for a while, and he said he didn't go to the gym, he just did dancing and thought that he was on top of it, and then he went to like a class of some sort and said he was beyond humbled. It's amazing how much the body adapts within a show, and it just gets used to what it's doing. And I think that's where the fitness importance comes of, like, allowing your body to always stay on top of itself, meaning like your life isn't just that 1.5 hour show of doing the exact same thing every day. So,
and those muscles that I need for Chicago are built and ready, and then other muscles have, I just don't do them nearly enough. Yeah. I like variety. I think that's because I don't like to just stick with one thing. I get bored really easily. So as long as I can keep it fresh in my workout, then I'm entertained.
Yeah. Do you ever do abs off stage?
Yes, before the show.
What's your
midriff? My midriff is bare in the show, so of everybody, my abs need to be tight. Can't be out there being flabby.
Got it. Do you eat most of your food after the shows?
Well, I do I do a breakfast and then like a late lunch before the show and then after.
Okay, so you've been in Chicago now for 2 years. We're kind of talking about this being the longest run of a show that you've been involved in. How do you continue to grow individually, and how do you continue to make things, you know, fresh for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really hard because it's the longest I've done something, and it's something that I continue to struggle with every day. So I don't really have an answer to that. One of the things that definitely helps is the revolving door of people in Chicago. So there's always someone new bringing a new energy to the show. The audience also helps because some of them, you know, we have English speaking Saturday, which people kind of, that's not an official thing. So I find that more English speaking people come on Saturday, so they respond better to the show and they get the jokes more. But so that helps keep it fresh. But the monotony never really goes away. You just have to be reminded that, I just have to remind myself that this is what you love to do, and I'm so happy to be there every day and get to perform and do what I love and get paid to do it, and with this incredible group of people that I'm with at the show. And just trying to find other things outside of the show that to maybe get me excited or keep me artistically stimulated in other ways.
All right, let's go on that then. Yeah. What is that? What are some of those?
Struggling, trying to figure things out. You know, going to dance classes is good because then I'm doing something that's not Fosse choreography, which I love Fosse. I can do it every day. But something that's not Chicago the Musical, something to work different muscles, work different parts of my brain. A year ago, I started taking voice lessons again in the city, and I love it. I absolutely love it. There's just something about, you know, another expressing yourself in another way and feeling talented again and feeling capable of, you know, singing by yourself, because I don't get to sing by myself on a daily basis on the stage.
When you do get to sing on your own on the stage, when you go in for Roxy, is every time the first time? Tell us a little bit about, like, getting you're maybe in your apartment sipping on some coffee in the morning, and all of a sudden your stage manager calls like, P.S., like, you're going on today.
It's stressful. I think being an understudy is one of the hardest things I've ever done, because I love the role and I love watching other women play the role of Roxy, because I think it's such a versatile part that you don't have to be a certain age or skin color or, you know, ability to play the role. And to see it, so many women do it, has given me fuel in my life and when I get to go on for the part. But it is so stressful because you never know, not never, sometimes you know ahead of time, but the least amount of time I've had is 1 hour, and I was already at the theater getting ready for my show to play Go to Hell Kitty, and the stage manager comes upstairs and says, surprise, we need you for Roxy. And it was kind of like, what? And then he kind of started shaking, and you said, well, I'm okay, it's fine. I don't think I'd done the role in maybe 2 or 3 months, so it's been a while being back. So then, of course, it is the first time. You're climbing the ladder for the first time in 3 months. You're, you know, standing in the spotlight for the first time in 3 months. And there's such a different, you know, mental state when you're in the spotlight because you can't really see the audience as well. Yeah. When I'm in my ensemble track, I'm in the spotlight here and there, but most of the time I can see the first 10 rows pretty well. So it's all a mental game and making sure, do I know my lines? Is my voice ready to do this? It's different muscles. It's not the same choreography I'm doing every day. Is my body ready and primed to do this?
Anytime you ever walk away from an interview and like, oh, I wish I could have talked about that, this or that.
I mean, I think there's a lot to do with the mental health when it comes to this business as well. And mental and physical that people don't necessarily teach you in school, because at the end of the day, it is your hobby and it's your passion, but it's also your career and you need to treat it as a business. And so you need to be prepared as you can be for the rejection and the heartache that comes along with, there are so many incredibly talented, beautiful people in this city and in this industry. And you are also talented and beautiful. And you can't let the comparison to other people get you down. And whether that is whatever makes you happy, I think that's what, you know, and what I struggle with daily. Finding those things that keep you appreciating you and knowing that you are valued and you are supported. And finding those friends and that support system has really helped me in the city.
It wears on you, whether you want to admit it or not, like the nose or the what's next.
Yeah. When I was auditioning heavily, I kept a journal with every audition I went to, what I wore, what I sang, who was in the room, how I felt it went, what I could do better for next time. And I still have it. And you count through the number of auditions that you went to and the number of callbacks you got or the number of job offers you got. And the callbacks and the job offers are so, like maybe 1%. It's sad. But then you think, you know, all it takes is one. So you got to keep pounding the pavement and thinking, well, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is my turn.
Yeah. I just actually spoke to a girl about it earlier today. I like to tell people, it's like you have to think about acting as playing a free game of roulette. So imagine going to the casino and rolling, and eventually you're going to run out of money if you keep losing, and then you can't play anymore.
Yeah.
But the thing with the career of acting is that you really, to an extent, there's other outside variables, paying rent, whatever, but you can play the game of roulette for free as many times as you want to roll. You really do have the ability. It might be a 1 in 1,000 chance. So you have to roll the dice 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Because if you roll the dice...
Or maybe 1,001.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that last one.
If it's a 1 in 1,000 chance and you've only rolled 200 times, it sucks that you've been told no 200 times. But you just have to keep rolling away because it's not about your talent or it's not about if you did it right or wrong. It's just about being at the right place at the right time, being the right type, being the right height, being the right costume size, your quality of voice, of your timbre, whatever. Like, you just gotta keep rolling.
Yeah, and you know, and people say it all the time, but you have to keep hearing it and keep hearing it because maybe it takes this last time just to hear that you are enough, it's okay. You'll get the next one or the next one after that, or, you know, and be happy for your friends who are doing things because they're your support system and they're going to be happy for you when it's finally your turn to get it. Yeah.
Well, Jessica, thanks for being Built for the Stage podcast. You can check out Jessica's Instagram.
I'm MaritimeGirl01.
Yeah.
Let's be more chill. Was it B? Oh no. Be more chill. Something like that.
I'll tag it away, so make sure you give her a follow. Check her out in Chicago
8 times a week at the Ambassador Theater on 49th Street.
Don't come on Saturday because that's English speaking audience. Come on another day because you probably speak English and understand it well, so be
I want you to laugh.
Yeah, come on maybe like a Wednesday or no,
no
they're off.
Don't
come on
Wednesday.
Come on a Thursday or a Monday.
Mondays. Come Mondays.
What's the driest show of the week that usually
Monday, Tuesday.
Come on Monday or Tuesday. Laugh really loud. Woot, woot, and whistle, and make sure you let Jessica know you got all the love for her. So thanks again.
Thanks, my pleasure.
And that'll do it with Jessica Ernest. Thanks again for tuning in. Once again, if you want to try out a free trial, go to the website, builtforthestage.com, or the Instagram page, @builtforthestage. All right, until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.